I take it all back. Jago smokes.
Yeah.
No, Betty Stinks.
Fag breath.
What?
Drag name. Betty Stinks.
We've already got it.
Betty Stinks.
We've got Betty Stinks.
Fuck off. Oh, no. I came up with it.
Hang on. We have got it. We've got something along the line of Betty Stinks.
Betty Swallows.
Betty Swallows. Oh, it's a good one. Betty Takes It.
I was going to say that.
We haven't got Betty Stinks. We've got Fanny Stinks.
Oh. It could be from the House of Stinks.
Yeah.
Wheels on fire. Rolling down the road. Best notify my next of kin. This will surely explode.
This is Wheels on Fire, an absolutely fabulous podcast.
I'm Cooper, a super fan since season one.
I'm Leo. I've watched the early seasons hundreds of times, but I don't know the later ones quite so well.
And I'm Peter. I was a casual viewer over the years, but it's been great watching with fresh eyes and friends and getting fully immersed in the show's true genius.
So pour yourself a glass of champagne, sweetie, and join us as we revisit another fabulous episode.
Eddie's discovering her lady garden again.
Yeah, if she can find it.
It's round the back.
Oh, through the French doors?
No, we're in France next week.
Eddie's like a fish out of water and Safi's farmed out the groundwork. And the gardener's well hung, well bred.
Oh, just like Eddie's about to be.
And he's good with the Latin.
Ecce in pictura est puella nomine Cornelia.
Yeah, alright, we're not Hogwarts yet, sweetie.
Just like Gran, we're all muggles.
This is season 4, episode 2. Fish farm.
Ooh, hold your nose, sweetie.
Fish farm.
Welcome back and bienvenue encore to... Oh, that's next week.
We're not in that episode yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do the intro as that if you want. I know you like the French.
He likes to show off his French.
I don't want to get ahead of myself.
He likes to show off his French. Oh, hey, Saf. Sorry, that's next week.
Parlez le anglais.
Eddie is impressed when Saf does a French. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I mean, we're quite excited for the French episode, but we are actually on the fish farm this week.
We're doing a double this week, listeners.
How's about a corner with the table for two?
We have been away for, feels like forever.
A while.
And we're doing two episodes. Yeah.
For them, it's even more because we've recorded like two or three apps and we haven't released them. So.
They're just sat there on the computer.
Sat in our chamber pot of secrets, so to speak.
Chamber pot of horrors.
Yes, waiting to be unleashed like the Kraken. But yeah, welcome back and nice to see you, Peter, as always. Thanks for coming down to the country.
We had the spare room, the guest room, specially redecorated. It's now been named the Hagen Suite.
Okay, the Peach Suite. Like, how did you sleep?
Like a B&B.
You've been taking tips from Just Your Mama.
Book right now. Well, by the time this comes out, probably will be.
If any of our listeners have
we'll be
babies
in the petrol station on the reduced basket by the time this comes out.
The bargain bin.
Look, I will get
baby book bargain bin.
I will get the episodes edited pronto. I've been busy.
You've been busy.
We've actually had two birthdays, and by the time this does come out, a third birthday. We had Leon's birthday.
Yeah.
Then mine a few weeks later, and then yours is coming up as well.
Big ones as well. Are you willing to talk about your big one, Leon?
Do you want to see?
I mean, he shows it.
We've all seen your big one.
Yeah, I had a milestone birthday in February, and Peter's got a milestone birthday next weekend.
I'm 39 for life.
So we're like, oh my god, we're going through the existential crisis that Eddie went through in the birthday episode because she was turning 40.
Well, she was 40.
Yeah, and it was like a big milestone. And so we did say back when we did it, oh, this is going to be me in 2 years when I hit 40. I've done it. I've come out the other side.
How do you feel?
Do you know what? A year ago, it was like February a year ago, I just had this thing. Like, I knew 40 was coming. So I turned 39. I was like, I just don't want to get to 40 and feel like shit about myself. And like, I knew it was going to be tough because I knew I'd struggle to turn 40 for various reasons, just like Eddie did. But I feel like I did my best. I got myself in shape and like did some fun things and saw my friends.
We had a week of partying.
Yeah,
partied a lot.
Had a good birthday.
Made it fun. And I'm ready to face my 40s with verve and vigor. Not verve and burb.
Verve and burb. Verve and burb.
Just verve. Yeah. How about you, Peter? How are you feeling a week ahead of the countdown? The sands are tickling through that hourglass, girl.
I don't know. I'm all out of sorts with it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's happening. got a party next week. That'll be fun.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Bloody cold. Oh my God,
yes. So that's one of the things. So I've got like a full like throat infection, sore throat, so I can barely talk. If I sound a little hoarse, listeners.
You need to get one of those.
If I sound a little hoarse, listener. Do we have any horse listeners on?
I love horses, best of all the animals.
No, we don't have to do that.
Done that already.
We've done it. Don't, come on.
And I've told that story, haven't I?
Yeah, and Cooper and I have both recently just had colds, so we all sound a bit bunged up. And we almost cancelled and said, oh, we're not well. But you know what? Unless you get around this table, turn on the mics and do it, it just never happens. So we're back.
And if we're going to cancel, we want to be cancelled, not cancelled.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. Yeah.
Talking of cancel culture, we've got a fabulous sponsor this week.
Oh, yes. Oh,
God, yeah.
Listen fabulous. Out for that advert, listeners.
Coming up.
Anything else you want to plug?
Said the bishop to the choir boy.
First one we have. If you're playing bishop to choir boy bingo, mark your cards off there because there's going to be plenty.
Have we got any obsessions or things we're loving at the moment?
Oh, my obsession at the moment is, cover your ears, Peter, CrossFit.
Oh, well, that's still, that never went away, did it?
I'm in my not slagging off CrossFit era. I'm just starting it.
Peter just can't handle it because his sister is also into her fitness and her lifting, and she and I are going to hang out at his birthday tomorrow. Oh, he'll be doing karaoke and his sister and I will be doing
toes
like,
to bar.
Yeah. Where they put their toes on the bar.
Yeah, no, every time someone needs a drink, you're going to turn to my sister and go, and should we do some toes to the bar? And then you'll trot over and order yourself a drink.
I'm actually going to say that
I
now.
Know you are. Because I've told you. Well done. Hilarious.
Yeah. There's a joke for you. Freebie, that one.
Yeah, thanks.
That'll be fabulous. No obsessions for me, just, you know, life.
The wonder of life and the newness of living.
Oh, good.
Good life. Good life.
Talking about the absence of obsessions, this episode is a bit of an absence of obsessions for me because this episode, I only ever watched it once. Coming back to watch Fish Farm again was the second time in my life that I've seen it because, sorry, but I think it's a rubbish episode.
Do you know what? I think there's a lot of dud in this for sure. And you were both like, oh, it's not a great episode. But I feel like in terms of like story arc, like the sort of like reveal at the end, the punchline at the end of this episode, I think is really funny.
You might say the revelio.
The revelio. Uh-huh, exactly. I was just, because I was watching it going, oh, boring. And then that little like, his little like twist, you know, of where the monies went. I was like, oh, callback.
Spoiler alert.
But yeah, well, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
I actually thought, I was like, oh, that's not terrible.
Okay. I mean, I do love the reveal in there. There's actually a garden.
Eddie has a working window.
And I think this is the first time that you see the living room done up again.
I actually love the new house.
The living room is very still modern, I think, as like now. The fireplace with the glass around is a bit shit, but it's very now, isn't it?
Her bedroom is so plain Jane. Like, considering what she's had, like the theme she's had in the fabulous, I feel like the bedroom is very like any suburban bedroom.
I feel like it's like a hotel suite, like an inoffensive. Everyone's going to like it, but it is done to like a high standard. Look, you'd walk into that room and go, oh, okay. It's a bit like the Hagen suite.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to offend anyone, but you go in there.
The Hagen suite's better than her.
I like the knock through to the bathroom. What I don't like in there is the cabinet with the perfumes. It's like a glass cabinet, like a spa. She's going for the spa look because there is a swimming pool in there, as we learned. There's a dolphin in there, wasn't there, at one point? Fabulous.
Oh, just like how Eddie goes outside in this episode, outside into her back garden that she didn't even know she had. We got outside recently, didn't we, Coop?
We did. We went to the fabulous, well, I don't think it's a fabulous, we went to Centre Park.
I wouldn't call it fabulous.
No.
Centre Parks is like, okay, so.
My first time ever going.
Like, it was fun. It's so much.
We went with a gaggle of girls from CrossFit.
So much fun stuff to do. Segwaying, archery, canoeing, kayaking.
Speaking of segways.
And it was a lot of fun, but it's a bit of a choice crowd there, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like if we'd gone to the one at Longleat, it might have been different.
Oh, that's where those two gays are this weekend, because they messaged me.
We went on Grindr there to see if there was any talent. There was a few like married dads looking for fun, but there was a couple, two older guys. They were all at the same distance. They were a bit choice, but they had a young un with them. So it was obviously they're taking him out for a bit of back to nature. But yeah, they were messaging, but we were a bit...
Well, we couldn't have had anyone round with the girls in the...
You roll in one chalet.
Yeah.
You did the splits and did yourself an injury.
I was all right. I got into the split and I did a bounce. It was actually good.
Did you bounce your pussy?
A little bit, I did. Pussy puppet.
He went into the splits. As he went down, he went, oh, I've got no knickers on. Yeah.
That line. Yeah, that line will haunt me.
Guess what's come back to haunt us?
Yeah, it's the killer.
It's the killer.
It was good fun. I put on a right show. You know, girls, they eat it up, don't they? They love it.
I don't know, not all of it. There were certain bits where we were carrying on. I could see they were like, what is this bit they're doing?
Was it just the two of you, like, careering performing around the house, yeah, and they're performing, just sitting there having a drink?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a bit like showtime.
Although they all got up for ABBA.
They did.
Oh, my God, there's an ABBA.
Oh, my God, we went to see ABBA Voyage.
I love the way you think it's like Voyage. Like,
is that
posh.
How you say it?
I think it's just ABBA Voyage.
Oh. ABBA Voyage. If you haven't been to see it, you need to get tickets and go. If you're a cheapo skinflint like
don't
us.
Don't go on Sunday, though. It's full of old farts. Karens.
Get the Sunday matinee tickets because they're cheap, but the crowd is a little bit boring.
Yeah, they're a little bit
boring. Go on a Friday night when everyone gets pissed.
It was a good show. It was really... it was good. And the further back you go, the more realistic they look like they're actually there.
Yeah. Don't get up too close.
Yeah, because the holograms will get you. If you didn't know, spoiler alert, they're actually holograms. They're not actually
what?
There.
But it's really good fun. And the first song that they open with, which is called The Visitors.
Oh my God, spoiler alert.
It's been a revelation.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Us.
I didn't know it was out in 1981.
Listen, if you've never listened to ABBA, The Visitors, go onto Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you listen to Wheels on Fire once the episode's finished and listen to that song because it is wicked.
Maybe I can do a segue here because I've started doing disco house mixes as well.
Listeners. Yes, talk about that.
Yeah, I'm putting my mixes out now. I'm like doing one every Sunday or when I can be bothered.
Where can everyone find them?
They can find them on Mixcloud. I'll put the link up somewhere.
We'll
they're
put it in
like
the
new disco mixes. They're good, they're fun, they're cheeky, they're camp. Fabulous. You know, they get the weekend going.
So if you're having like a kitchen disco or a house party or people over and you don't want to have pauses between songs,
oh, God,
put on a couple of Cooper's mixes.
Isn't it worse when you're playing and the music just stops?
I feel like that's my
Why
life,
does it
sweetie.
Stop?
And I just want the music to stop.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? I've turned 40 and the music hasn't bloody stopped. The music is still playing. Thank you for the music.
Right.
Shall we get into the fish farm?
Get me into that fish farm, sweetie. Mm. Hold your nose, sweetie. Fish farm.
Fish
oh my God, that's what we should have said on the intro.
Just put it in.
Oh my God, pause it. Instant pause. So we open the episode with Millie.
Of Mac and Millie fame.
Gran and gentleman who I'm not going to name just yet, singing The Slow Boat to China. My nan used to sing me that.
Did she?
Yeah.
By D.D. Bridgewater.
Is that who it's by? Mm. Yeah, she used to sing me that.
On a slow boat to China.
China.
Do you know why that's a thing? Why you would want to get someone in a slow boat to China?
Because you had enough of them?
No, because it's the longest journey, so it's the most time you get to spend with them.
It's
like romantic.
Nice.
Oh, romance.
So it wasn't about sending our rubbish to China to get incinerated
over
there. I
don't think so, no. Or it wasn't like racist sending people
plastic
back
over
or
there.
Anything.
Right,
no,
okay,
it's
nothing
just romance.
Racist.
It's just take them on a nice long cruise. And what's the longest one? A slow boat
but
to China.
There's a bit of flirtation going on here. It's quite sexy.
Well, yeah, but
kitchen.
Hello, Bryce.
Bryce.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit over these oldies. I feel like, is this like the third? Is this only the second episode we've seen him or the third?
I think, do you reckon Gran demanded like a few more scenes than she got in the old seasons?
I feel like maybe. I'm just bored of them singing about the house being annoying.
Is no one going to mention the elephant in the room right now?
I can't see.
And I'm not talking about Edwina.
Oh, Bryce.
Bryce.
What is he? What's wrong with him?
Bryce is from Mirrorball. He's from a completely other universe.
Oh, yeah. Bryce
but
was
same
the
character?
The same character. Remember, he was married to Patsy's character.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I couldn't see with the...
That's him. So we now know that Mirrorball and Abfab exist in the same universe. So there are doppelgangers of all the characters going around living their lives. I would have loved it, and I don't think it happens unless I missed it. We'll check. But I would have loved it if Bryce had just name-dropped or mentioned one of the characters that was in Mirrorball. Because he says something like, oh, so-and-so's waiting in the car, but it's not
Hermione
one of...
Hermione Granger.
He does say Hermione.
Yeah.
Hermione's waiting outside.
It's not one of the characters that were from Mirrorball. I feel like that was a miss. Why didn't they do that?
Yeah, they should have done that. Okay, so this is confirmed that AFU exists.
It does.
It does.
Pricey boys, how about making me your official arm candy?
So when Millie says to Bryce, she's like, how about making me your official... arm candy. I feel like that's her messing up the line.
Why?
Do you think?
Because it should be, how about making me your official arm candy? Why does she pause?
I think that's just that's her delivery. It's to sound like a certain way. How about making me your official I'm candy. It's kind of like old Hollywood breathy, like she's giving old sexy that, like a very heavy pause.
To me, it just sounds like she read the line and official was the last word of the top line, and then arm candy was the first line and the first word in the next line, and she just read it wrong. It just seems like,
I mean, she's quite like, pissed. Have you seen all the verbs?
Yeah, true.
I think they're quite pissed.
And as we find out, they're on the HRT pills.
Yeah, they're on it.
So maybe
they?
she's high as a kite.
But she's too fruity for Bryce. Anyway, yeah. He shoots her down a little bit.
You can stop singing, honey. He's not interested. Oh, in you, perhaps.
Gran's ready to go. She swoops in. So just because he turned down
Millie. Millie.
She pisses me off.
Millie's cookies.
You're not into Millie.
She's
just really annoying. I just thought if she was around the house, I'd just be like, Millie, could you shut the fuck up?
Famous Millies are there. Millie's cookies. Millie.
Bobby Brown.
Brown.
Millie
Bobby Stranger Brown. Things. Millie Vanilli.
Millie Vanilli. Mm. That's a good one.
Mr. Watercolor, what are you doing tonight?
That's high kick.
Millie does a very, very big high kick.
Puss to camera.
Is that what it is?
Is that the director? No. Millie, darling.
Puss to camera, darling.
Can you give us a puss to camera, please? Like, absolutely. A 5, 6, 7, 8.
What is she doing?
Very Sharon style.
Yeah, her pussy kisses the lens.
Oh my God, that is it. That is in the stage directions in the script. That's what Jen wrote.
This is the lens.
Have you ever been in a situation where you had no knickers on and that was a problem?
Never been a problem.
I mean, like it's always, is that not always the desired outcome?
Yeah.
Oh no, I've got no knickers. This is such a problem.
There was one time where I was wearing, you know, like a union suit. So it's like a full body suit. You wear it like in the winter. It's cozy. You can wear it just like as pajamas in the evening. You can sleep in it or you can wear it under your clothes. It's a onesie.
A union suit.
But it has poppers that go all the way under your gusset.
And your poppers.
And up to your bum.
Oh yeah.
So in the night, I'd gone for a little sit down wee-wee in the dark. So I'm going to put the lights on. And I'd undone the poppers. And then the next morning, the postman knocked on the door and I ran downstairs. It was during COVID times, so you know the postman would just put your stuff down and then you'd have to pick it up off. He wouldn't hand it to you. Crouched down like in a squat and then I felt the cold as my all my junk just hung out at the bottom of the squat and I went
there?
Oh sorry.
Are we supposed to, like, is it inferred that, like, Bryce is a pervert into men?
Oh,
no, I think he's into
that.
Women.
Not, like, later when the gardener's in, he's all over him.
Oh, he goes, tinkety-tock.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I thought he was just saying, like, just all boys together, let's get the women.
I thought he was like, I don't want to.
Maybe not.
I don't think he's a gay.
The one thing that I really don't like is that we have underbelly. His belly's exposed at the bottom of his shirt.
And hanging out. Yeah. Bryce's belly.
We're at the table for two.
Millie and Gran are in the middle of their fifth performance of this episode in the first 2 minutes. And Dawn stomps Saf in her nightdress and socks.
She looks like a house elf.
She does.
Yeah, she does.
Dobby.
Very Harry Potter.
Dobby this episode. Dobby.
She's trying to work. She's working upstairs.
Yeah, she's doing her scribblings.
She writes plays that we find out.
So all through this series now, you find out Safi's a writer now. She's doing some... The crescendo of the whole season is this play.
Yeah, because I was going to say, have we heard that Safi's a writer before? No, she was working for the
government.
Council before.
I feel like they had an idea in the writing, like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if Saf wrote a play? And they'd be like, why would she have written a play? She works for the council. So like, okay, well, if we pepper it in through the whole series, by that episode, people will buy it.
Although, if she wanted like a total career pivot, because we know that she never really utilised her uni degree or anything, and her career in the council never took off, and her marriage failed. So maybe she was like...
read a bit.
Yeah. Oh, listing facts of things that happened to Safi. I don't know if that's reading. So maybe she is like, I need a career change. And... she probably has like material for days. Like, look at who her mum and mum's best friend are. Yeah. Like, she's got some stories that she could put down. She could commit to the stage. So I feel like it's maybe not that much of a stretch that she's a writer.
Talking of having a career change to become a writer, what did you just suggest 10 minutes ago when we were downstairs?
Oh, well, that's like outside of this because we can't admit that our adverts are written. we're just submitted the content and we slot it in. But yeah, I just think we're quite funny and we should be writers.
Peter's got his eye on a career as a comedy writer. Then he can go on strike.
Dead funny.
Get rid of them. It was all Dolly.
Hang on
a minute. Hold up.
Pause.
Hold up.
Why does Gran called Millie
Dolly?
Are we supposed to accept that this is a different character?
I mean, it's definitely not.
Oh
my God. I think she's meant to be a different character. This is ridiculous.
But she's exactly the same.
Yeah. This is some... Oh, my God. I told you this episode was bullshit.
What is...
Is she her sister?
Millie's sister, Dolly.
Dolly and Millie.
Maybe.
Or maybe Dolly's her dancer name, her stage name.
So you can actually watch the season four episodes on the DVDs with an audio, what do they call it? Like a director's commentary.
Yeah.
And it's Jen and Plowman talking about the episode. And when we started to do the watch back, we thought, oh, should we watch it with their narration?
We didn't
because I thought, first of all, then we'll just end up regurgitating everything they said. So we're like, oh,
and you can listen to that anyway.
This bit's about this. This bit's about that.
I think that would have been.
And, you know, we were on
fire.
And
we're not fact hunt.
We're not fact hunt. If you want facts and figures. Do you know what? If someone out there wants to do a
we
facts and figures.
We are not a fact hunt.
No. I'm a bit.
Well, yeah. Well,
not fit now.
Not as much as we used to be. Dora Bryan is credited in this episode as being called Dolly.
Wow, so it's a new character.
It's a bit lazy writing because it's literally the same character. Like, but, literally.
Yeah. I mean, with Bubble, Katie Green is different.
Very different.
But with this...
It's the same character with
a different
name.
Just a partying with Gran, ready to like get on it all the time.
Strange choice. Okay. Anyway, it's a different character. So if you watched it and thought she was the same character, you were wrong, just like us.
Fucking thickos. We're here to tell you how you should be watching that.
Now, Gran wants to get rid of him because she's had enough.
She's over it, yeah.
She's over it.
She's been up for days.
Have you had those times where you wanted to get rid of house guests?
Yes.
And you're just like, why wouldn't you
go? Every time. You know
Peter?
I like him, Peter stays.
Actually, I don't want Peter to leave.
Goodbye. No, Peter's a good house guest. Although, do you want to know something you do do? Where I'm like,
I do a do-do-day.
That Peter does when he comes to stay, and I always really notice it. You leave the toilet seat up.
Peter's standing up.
All
around
the house, in every bathroom, my toilet seats are up. I have to go around putting them down again. I'm like, first of all, stick to one bathroom if you're going to do that. I'm joking. Oh my God, Peter's face. I'm joking, bitch.
Not everyone has free bathrooms.
I'm not joking, bitch.
Yeah, I know, fucking hell. Oh, I'm sorry that in each of your bathrooms I've left the toilet seat up. I mean, humble brag. And also, if... And also, if me leaving the toilet seat up is the worst thing I can do, then I think I'm an all right guest. Because honestly, like, I thought you were going to say something that was actually like
a thing. You're a lovely guest. You know those joke doormats you can get that say, welcome, please leave by 9 p.m. It's a real thing.
The nice thing about our CrossFit friends,
please,
they do leave by
9 a.m.
9 a.m. Yeah. That's the gaze, isn't it? The G gaze.
Yeah, you're like, oh God, I'm really ready for sleep now.
No. We've just called the dealer, he's coming round.
Oh no.
There's some more lads coming round.
Oh, God.
That's the worst. Someone buzzes the door and people are like, who's that? Nobody remembers.
Using your house like a brothel.
So
get rid of those guests.
Oh my God, we haven't even got to 2 minutes. We said this was going to be a quick episode.
In the chamber pot of secrets.
So Gran makes the joke of the chamber pot of secrets.
Well, she's an extra in it.
Yeah, but that's obviously it's a joke on the Harry Potter film, The Chamber of Secrets, right? Mm. In the French and Saunders episode where they take the piss out of Harry Potter, is that also called The Chamber Pot of Secrets?
I've not seen it.
I'm sure it is. Maybe I'm sure that's the joke in French and Saunders.
Yeah. It sounds like it. It's funny.
I'm J.K. Rowling. As a writer, I'm not often lost for words, but I can't think of anything nice to say about the comic relief sketch that's on later. Harry Potter and the Secret Chamber Pot of Azerbaijan. So please don't watch it.
But when they reference things that I sort of, like, because I feel like Harry Potter is something that was more recent than Ab Fab, but I still put this as like, even though this is old, I still am like, this is 90s, but this isn't 90s.
No, I'm the same. I'm like,
because when they
Potter
said Harry
around.
Potter, I was like, oh my God, why are they mentioning Harry Potter? Yeah. But it's because, I mean, the first Harry Potter book came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
So it's old.
But we're getting into the era now of Ab Fab becoming like postmodern Ab Fab. Yes. Like you had what I consider to be true Ab Fab season 1, 2, and 3, and then you've got that big break, and then you've got postmodern Ab Fab where it's trying to recapture what it was but also create something new, and it does it in the way like, oh, we're older and we're just going to name every zeitgeist, but we're in the 90s,
we're not older, we're better,
we're better. But we're in the 90s, they did it with the zeitgeist in a way that just felt inherently cool to me, and I don't know if it's because I was young. In these later seasons 4 and 5, it just doesn't hit the same for me.
It feels a little bit Madonna. It's a little bit tryhard.
Yes, it's Madonna.
Which is ironic because she would rather be seen dead.
Yeah, she would. It's only pin money.
Is pin money like...
Pocket money?
pin money?
I think so.
Pin money's like your disposable income.
Right.
It's a small amount of money for spending on inessentials. Right. So just our extras, our spending money.
That's what I wish I'd done. I remember when I worked at Vodafone at the time, and I remember they were doing the auditions for Harry Potter because it was down the road from Watford, from where I lived. I wish I'd gone for it and just got an extra in Hogwarts or something. It would have been so cool.
So this definition says, why was it called pin money? At the time, pin money was a substantial sum that was used for important purchases. The expression was linked to the price of straight pins, once items that were very rare and expensive and part of the necessary purchase to run the household.
Oh,
so it's like stuff that you need but was expensive, so you'd have to earn a bit more money for it.
Oh, here they come.
So Gran's like warning Dolly that a daughter's coming and they've never met before.
I wonder why she was introducing Dolly again to...
Is this the voucher?
To Eddie.
She knows.
Yeah.
Why would she be doing that when she knows her again?
Different character.
God. Weird. God, the things we learn. I like when we learn things fresh in the pod.
Things that are useful for our life. Fucking what character was in AbFab 20 years ago?
I didn't say you're
scared. I know, I'm joking. Why does Gran say it's my daughter and her friend?
Well, yes, this is what I put. Like introducing her like some sort of lesbian lover they don't talk
Gran
about.
Is just like, they must be scissoring if they hang out this much and Eddie doesn't Eddie hasn't taken a husband.
Friend.
Is it?
Air quotes.
It's like my nan used to introduce me and my boyfriend at the time.
My mum did it as well.
Yeah. Well, we've all been there.
This is his friend.
Did she say that about me or did she say partner?
Well, my mum never said that about you.
Previous boyfriends, wasn't it?
A previous boyfriend my mum would have done when I was younger.
I said ligger, but you spoke up for me, so I hope it doesn't sound like anything else.
I'm a muggle.
Speaking of muggles and the Chamber Pot of Secrets, I know we've only just started the episode, but this seems like a very apt time to have a little word from our sponsor.
Oh my God, I feel so rough today.
What's wrong now, sweetie?
I had a heavy one in Hogsmeade last night.
Were you on the Polager shots again?
Yes, and now I'm feeling really haggard.
Oh, don't you mean hangry?
Oh, I know just the place we can go for a bottomless butterbeer brunch and room for 280 characters.
Where?
JK's all-you-can-tweet surf and turf buffet.
Are you sure we want to go there?
Oh yeah, darling, it's fabulous. The house elves have their pronouns on their badges and everything.
Oh, Revelio.
And there's unisex toilets.
Oh. Oh, just for when you need a little arresto memento.
Oh, you will love the barbecue hippogriff wings.
It better not be made with preservatives, conservatives, or trans-exclusionary fats. That will retweet on me for days.
Yeah, it's extreme, but it's radical.
Use code WHEELS when booking to receive a complimentary gender-specific Patronus tote charm.
Collect all two.
Surely there's more than two.
No, sweetie.
Marilyn Manson concert. I'm a mosh queen.
Now, we've already had one cancelled, JK. Now we've got Marilyn who's cancelled as well. I mean how many people do you want cancelled in an episode? Who'd have known? I mean, come on. Would Eddie and Patsy go to a Marilyn Manson concert?
This is exactly the note I've made. Just seeing fucking Patsy flop about this kitchen like that, I'm like, this is not Patsy.
No. It's like clown Pats.
It's not even clown Pats. It's like try hard Pats. Pats isn't try hard.
Because when I watch it, I'm kind of thinking, so are they giving us, look, as you get older and you get into this phase of your life, you just become, you know, a bit of a Madonna. So desperate to, because Madonna was cool. Madonna was fabulous.
Absolutely.
And then she became the ligger of everything that was supposedly cool. But was Marilyn Manson even cool? Like,
He definitely had a moment. Yeah, he definitely was like big. They might say they were into him, but I just don't see them going to the concert in a mosh pit, getting like, because that
would have been
full on intense. Yeah. I mean, my idea of hell, I would rather die, and I just don't see Eddie enjoying that.
No,
it's like over the top to the point of not being funny. Like, it's so, it's like, let's really ham up that Pats and Ed have gone to this concert and, you know, they're like headbanging and they've got these looks on, and like, it's so far removed from what Eddie and Patsy are. I don't know, it's very BBC sitcom.
I can see, it's like I can see them acting it.
Yeah.
It's not convincing me in the slightest that this is a real thing.
Have we slipped into the Mirrorverse and gone into another dimension? I mean, are we...
Does season 4 pick up a whole alternate universe of AbFab? Oh, that's an interesting take.
There you go.
Maybe it does.
AbFab world version... Alpha, Beta, 9.
So maybe in another universe, there is a Eddie and Patsy who are still acting the way we want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went through the mirror ball into this other universe. Now we're in the mirror ball universe. And then, oh, God.
Let's say that. Like, let's, because that, maybe that makes it more palatable. Yeah. It's not a change. It's just different. Yeah. It's just another one.
Yeah.
Verve and burb. We get a new cocktail this week, though.
Verve and burb.
Jack Daniels or Jim Beam, whatever it is with Verve. It's, I mean, it's an attempt to recreate. It's
Bolly Stolly. Bolly Stolly. They're trying to do another Bolly Stolly. Yeah.
It never really caught on because you never, ever heard anyone say they're having a Verve and
burb. Do you want to try it?
Let's get Christy from Ab Fab Sweetie to try it because she never tried Bolly Stolly.
Yeah, we'll
get
her to try.
Oh, she must have burb as well because she lives in like in the States, in the South ish.
Because you can't get it outside the States.
No.
It's exclusive.
We'll get her to try that. She'll tell us whether it's nice or not. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just it's all. We start to get in season four this like attempt to recapture the jokes that landed in the earlier series rather than write new ones.
Yes. We can see what they're doing and it's very hit and miss.
We knew that.
We know what you're doing.
It's all the new stuff, darling, you know, Slipknot. Papa Roach, corn.
She just gets to the point where she's like, I'm going to just list things that are in at the time. I've got that Papa Roach single at home, for sure.
I think there was a moment where that music was, and everyone was wearing big baggy jeans. Oh, this was 2004.
Back.
No, but do you know what? This is why it's not right. Because that moment.
I was at uni in 2004.
Exactly. Okay, so that moment when grunge was in and people, and it was the zeitgeist, was about 2000 and, about 2000.
Yeah.
This episode came out in 2004.
Maybe even end of the 90s.
It was over. Yeah. It was over. So I don't know whether the writing process and getting into production for season four was really long.
Maybe they were just sitting.
No one was into this stuff when this episode. I mean, they were into it, but it wasn't the zeitgeist when this episode came out. So this episode is Madonna. It's 2008.
I was really into, you know, like the pussy one, Evanescence. Really good. Yeah. Really fabulous. The female vocals and then like a bit of rocking, like a bit
My
heavy.
Immortal. That
song it's so good. So good.
When it all kicks off. The best Skunk and Nancy.
Just sounds like swearing.
Well, it's
to me.
Ironic.
I love it.
Charlie Big Potato. I recently, in the past year or two, rediscovered that song again and added it to my like daily playlist.
It's good.
I absolutely love that song.
You know who did a good Marilyn Manson? Bow Selector. Yeah. I've sculpted a tuppence. Mass potato.
Quim.
Another thing that Skunk and Nancy reminds me of is they had a single called, I think it was Lately, and it had the video on it. And in the video, there was two guys and a girl, and they all get in the pool and they start all getting it on, and there's a bit where the two boys snog.
That's actually hot.
And
back
I remember,
then, that would have been hot.
And it's such, is it called Lately? I don't think. I think it's called Lately. It's called Secretly. They do have a song called Lately, but the song was called Secretly. Very good song.
Quite like ahead of it, not ahead of its time, but quite
avant-garde
to do two guys kissing.
And I just remember being like into having like looking through the CD-ROM, finding that bit and pausing it, and then rewinding
a bit
it
like Eurotrap,
furiously wanking.
Hey, do you think we should go and see the Stones when they're on tour?
Oh, I don't know. I think they're a little bit sad.
No. Is that an inevitability? Like, you know, like Uncle fans. Yeah. So in K-pop, K-pop, there's this concept where when they have older male fans who are into these young teen and 20-year-old K-pop groups, they refer to them.
Guilty!
They refer to them as Uncle fans, and it's considered really cringe. But like,
it's considered cringe.
It is. Even the artist.
So when should you stop listening to K-pop?
Well, exactly, because I still
love K-pop. To what you want whenever you want,
but maybe you just can't go like so just before COVID we went to the Kim Petras concert, didn't we? If we go to another Kim Petras concert, like
it'll be different.
Oh no, Kim Petras is fine because that's the gays, and the gays are like like age ranges don't apply to the gays,
okay,
because we have our gay allies later. And it's a lot later than other people, I would say in gay clubs the age range of the clientele is a lot wider. Yeah, for sure. So I feel like it doesn't matter the gays,
okay,
but we would never go to like a K-pop concert.
No, exactly.
The thing is,
I don't want to look sad.
Older bands are quite hip now because they're all coming back out of the woodwork.
Oh,
Steps,
nostalgia is
S Club 7 are back.
I would not go near them.
I would never go and see S Club.
Because just because of that fucking what's that one?
Joe.
I really.
Oh yeah, she's a racist.
I feel like she never atoned for that whole.
She's just a horrible girl.
She's just a horrible,
horrible.
Yeah. She just is a bit rough. And
Canvey Island. She from Canvey Island.
Who knows?
Chelmsford or somewhere.
I just didn't appreciate the way Goody took all the fall for that, all that racism row, and her and fucking Danielle, whatever you call her,
Lloyd. We didn't know what was going on.
Just Danielle Lloyd sat in the back cackling to themselves like the bitchy girls at school. They encouraged Jade, and then Jade took all that Shilpa Shetty shit. Mm, yeah. And then she died. So I she feel did. Like she's responsible.
Time is like a stretched elastic band. You can't let it go or it'll flick back and take your eye out.
I do actually quite appreciate Patsy's voice of that. Time's like an elastic band.
Is that the...
Not
that
as Patsy, because I just think she does it really well. So not Patsy, but Joanna Lumley does that voice really well, so I appreciate that bit.
Rockers should stay rocking or die.
Not yeah, retired. Not no. Fish.
Not Roger Daltrey. Not fish.
Not farm.
Fish. Farm. Fish.
Here we have the setup for the punchline of the whole episode, that you don't want to get old and start fishing. And definitely not open a fish farm.
Because Roger Daltrey did start his own fish farm.
He did, it's true.
I thought, darling, you might like to sell your eggs.
Eddie suggests to Saf that in order to make a little bit of extra money and maybe move out, she should sell her eggs. And Safi looks horrified. Why is... Well, she looked horrified before she said sell her eggs. She was horrified when she said to move out. Why is Safi so against moving out? Like, she hates being there so much. Why does she not want to get her own place?
At this point, when I'm watching this, I'm thinking, oh my God, Saf, like, just move out.
Piss off. But would you, if you were her, would you sell your eggs?
Well, I've never sold my sperm. You can do that. Yeah.
But then now the children are allowed to come find you if they want. No.
Daddy! I've written a letter to Daddy.
They've done a thing now where they don't even need the female now. They can just get the two bits. Ooh, they can make an egg from two males.
You're going to upset JK saying things like that.
Oh, thought we'd already upset her.
Yeah.
Speaking of JK, I didn't ask what your Patronus charm would be.
Oh, I did that stupid test on Pottermore. Oh, I did the test on the Harry Potter website to see what your Patronus charm would be. And do you know what it said mine was? A mongrel.
Mongrel dog.
A mongrel dog.
Yeah, and he hates dogs.
I don't even like dogs. And I was like, a mongrel dog.
Oh.
Rude.
That is rude.
Mine was like a cat.
Yeah, but like a cool cat. Cool like cat, a, like you a... know, like a really aloof, bitchy Bengal cat. Why couldn't I have that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't do mine.
My Patronus would be a little house elf like Saf. Just come out and it's nighty and it's buff head.
It's just sort of looking at everyone going, why are you still here?
Yeah. Yeah. Expecto Patronus! And Safi's just over, arms folded like...
Stop.
Oh, damn.
What?
Lid seems to have come off my amyl.
So Safi runs off because she gets her head on. She's about to vomit. You do see Patsy like unscrew the poppers and waft it over her shoulder.
I find it weird that she calls it my amyl and not my poppers.
Well, amyl nitrate, it's just cool.
I know what it is, but does anyone call it amyl?
Maybe that's what the straights call it.
Do straight people know what poppers are anyway?
Do they know what amyl is?
Yeah, that's
DVD it. Head cleaner. Yeah, VHS head cleaner. Oh, I know what it is. Amyl's more what they call it in America, I think.
Oh, they playing for the US.
Because AbFab is proper international at this point.
She's international, darling.
She is international.
What man? The gardener. He's doing something about the garden.
So if he's having the garden redesigned, we've just discovered. Who's paying for it? She hasn't asked her mum.
Obviously, Eddie. She must have access to the funds.
She must do, mustn't she? It'd be nice.
So she's got someone around to do the garden. That's nice.
It's nice.
Expensive.
Yeah, very expensive.
The garden looks a little like,
it's boring.
Needs a bit of TLC.
Yeah.
And who better to give TLC than a dashing? Is he dashing?
He's quite nice out there.
Yeah, I'd fuck him.
Oh, would you? Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like they always cast blokes as they're supposed to be hot, and they're like never really that hot. You know, like in Sex and the City, every single one of the blokes they shagged, they're like mingers. It's like, why are they? Who's casting these blokes?
Is it what girls are into?
I think when I say hot, I'm usually thinking of the ones that Samantha shags. Hot.
Like in a world of LA wannabe actors, could they not have found someone who fit the role and was hot?
Well, maybe they were going for a little bit of depth rather than just surface level hotness.
Besides, he had on quite tight jeans.
Anyway, this guy, he's got,
Yeah, and I think he's, out of all the talent that we've had over the years on AbFab, I feel like he's one of the better ones.
I think Danny's still the hottest.
Danny, hello.
And we find out that the guy who is doing the landscaping is from the Balfour Company. Is his name Diego or Jago?
Jago.
Really bugs me that they call him Jago. Like, what? That's not a name.
I think it is. Like, J-A-G-O. Jago. It's like cool. Like, his parents are probably a bit hippie. Rich, Jago. But like, you know how celebs give their kids wanky names? Like, maybe it was a rich people thing.
Jago Balfour. I think I knew his older brother.
Yeah, Doggy Balfour.
Doggy Balfour.
Why do you reckon Jago Balfour's brother was known as Doggy Balfour?
Well, I feel like Eddie did the movements.
Yeah.
Why, doggy style? Because he like banged their back doors in.
Do you reckon? He liked it doggy style.
Oh, and we know
he had a mongrel as his patronus.
We know he liked, you know, he liked a bit of the sniff. So he was like, he was on it. He was a proper doggy. Does it twice? Doggy, doggy.
Yeah, that's what she says.
And are they not just saying doggy? Doggy Balfour?
No, doggy, doggy. Doggy Balfour.
Yeah,
Bond. James Bond.
Yes.
Yeah, doggy, doggy Balfour. Step three is rush him and beget the son and heir.
Now that you said Diego, and in my head that it's Diego, but then pronounce it Jago, is really bugging me.
And that's why it seems
like, you know, like when people call yesterday. a video.
Or the
radio, or the radiator.
Yeah. Every time they said it, I was like, why are they saying it like that? But I guess maybe it is Jago. So Eddie and Patsy are hatching a plan because we find out that Jago is maybe for money.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, let's get Eddie on the scene, see what's happening. So Eddie's going to take the tea that Safi's been painstakingly making and putting in a little bit of honey and making it all special. Now Eddie's just swooping in to take it into the garden, take it out to Jago.
I'm going to give it to Jago.
No, I'll take it out to Jago.
Eddie's quite sexually up for this. She's like really...
I really like it.
I like it too. Do you think it's her HRT?
She says that's her emergency HRT, so she doesn't always take it.
Could you see his bog bamboo?
I really like that Eddie's like feeling a bit. Yeah, me too.
Nice.
And Patsy's like encouraging it because she is so standoffish usually.
And Patsy's not the one going Spoiler for it.
Yeah, she's letting her have him.
Which is a change.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting. Why don't you just leave him alone and let him get on with it?
Oh, fuck off, Saf. She pisses me off this episode.
It's disgusting.
Oh, it's disgusting, is it? You're like fucking 20-something. You should be a randy little bitch, not just sitting there writing your
Also,
pens.
Who doesn't, like, fancy the tradesman when they come on your house? That's the whole point of having a tradesman around. A gardener, a plumber. You think, oh, are they going to be fit?
Exactly.
And then you're like...
And then you actually get a handsome one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have a bit of a flirt with them. That's what you do. And you go behind their back and everyone be like, oh, he's a bit fit.
Jago's a little bit like our gardener, isn't he? Nafe with his long hair.
Yeah.
Very similar to that, the way they outfit. Very similar.
Good for Eddie.
Go
for Ed.
Step one, Eddie. Let's get you dressed.
Just get me dressed, right?
In this scene where they're looking in the mirror and Patsy is cutting Eddie's t-shirt so the cleavage shows, Patsy's makeup is wicked. She looks so good. She just looks like a proper, I don't know, like that rock chick looks working for her. I love it.
I like the hair as well. It's more like, hair's a booth, but it's a bit of a...
The messy booth.
Messy booth.
Because in
shaggy
that,
booth.
In the beginning part of this episode, again, crossover with Mirrorball, the hair was the hair that character had in Mirrorball. It's like she stepped out of Mirrorball with that hairdo, the big... buffy hair and kept it for the start of this episode.
Well, we are in another dimension, remember?
Yeah, I know, but it's all these weird crossovers.
Yeah, it's fab.
Now just remember the plan of action, okay?
So the plan is seduce him, have a house party, get pregnant by him. So
they're always the plans. That's my plan.
Yeah.
Tonight with you.
Yes. Oh, yes. Sorry, do you think there's money here?
Oh, yeah.
I know, it's literally so
awful. Oh, no, Charlie's coming around later. He's got money.
Fuck. Charlie has got money, yeah.
You've got your friend, Eddie, and this house.
You've got this friend. Yeah. Charlie and this house.
This fabulous shop. We've got our friend coming over tonight.
Oh, that's Charlie.
To see us all here, and he's got a shop in... He's got a lovely shop. He does
gorgeous little things.
Oh, just gorgeous things, you know.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah. God, Eddie would love him.
Yeah, she would.
Yeah.
Do you think Eddie's a bit old to be having kids? Is she able to?
This would be a geriatric pregnancy.
Right. Is that like Janet Jackson?
Literally, I think it's something...
She had a baby at 50, didn't she?
New album, isn't it?
I think it's geriatric. Literally, geriatric pregnancy is like someone over 30.
Yeah,
it's
right. Is that what they call it?
Oh, doggy chasing every orifice, no matter where it was in the body.
So then we get confirmation of why he's called doggy, because he chased every orifice, no matter where it was in the body.
So he was
keen on the back door.
The gardener still sat downstairs waiting for...
Because he's keen. He fancies Eddie. And I like that he fancies Eddie.
Yeah. It's quite rude to Saffy, though. She's like the one planning this garden and putting together. He's like, no.
He's like, I swear to God, if you say water feature.
I like a water feature.
Please don't say water feature.
I like the sound on the pebbles. I think it would be quite nice.
But you know, it's because he has been through however many years since Charlie Dimmock's been on TV with their gardens and they put fucking water features everywhere. Yeah. He's just like, I've heard it.
They were passe.
Yeah, I've heard. We get it. Water features look nice in the garden.
Yeah, and maybe he's now got ulterior motives to get with Eddie because she's got this lovely big house. Single woman. Maybe he's a predator.
He's like double crossing. Yeah. Like he's after Eddie's money.
Money, yeah. There we go. Like,
you're full of it today, all these ideas.
Yeah, I know, right?
Why don't we just wait for your mother? What did you say her name was?
Edina.
It's a lovely name.
It was Edwina.
Do you know what? Bloody Saf, dead name in Eddie.
Right. Edwina.
Pull out her old
name. Edwina. She's going to be ages. She's like, Safi, your mum's going to get dicked down by the gardener. Yeah. Just deal with it.
Safi's cock blocking.
Hi.
Hi.
This bit, though, this bit's funny. Eddie and Patsy coming down the stairs, and Patsy, obviously assuming Jago is Bryce, she's just looking him up Bryce and down like... Bryce is Jago. It's quite funny the way she's just like looking him up and down like, are you mad? What? Yeah,
do you know what I thought they were doing at first? Before the joke, I thought they were doing a bit where Patsy is looking at Bryce and it's like because they were married in Mirabel and it was a little callback to that. Just
like,
to give us...
She's like short-circuiting or something.
Yeah.
It could be that.
And I wish...
She's just looking at him thinking, oh God.
Endymion Hispanicus, Fritillarium Imperialis, Veronica Beckabunga, Syringa Vulgaris.
All the bloody plant names that Jago keeps saying sound like spells at Hogwarts.
They really
Perialis.
Do. All the Latin.
Majanicum Perialis. JK's spells are basic. Like she's meant to be creative. And the spell to reveal something is Revelio. Bombardia.
Bombardia. Bombarda Maxima. Yeah, I get what you're saying. They're a bit weak. But the Latin flowers sound lovely. They're doing something to Eddie.
Oh, do the Latin.
And I just like that Eddie's into him and he's into Eddie. And it's not like her chasing someone who's repulsed by her or whatever. They're just both into each other.
Jago's like fully foreplaying Eddie. Just saying Latin.
It's just like he's hot under the collar.
Yeah. It's like Latin lingus. Latilingus. Maybe that's what JK was going for with her spell. Latilingus.
Talk some more Latin. I love it when you talk the Latin.
Eddie's obviously well turned on by the latilingus. What can a man say to you to make you like fully fanny flutter? What works for you?
I've got a coots card.
Has Fliss got a coots card?
I've never seen it.
She's got a something credit card. I saw it in her wallet.
What colour?
Like a grey... Have a look next time.
Have a look next time.
Anyway. What can they say to you? Daddy.
Are you into that now?
Yeah.
Oh, are Daddy.
You? What do you mean, no?
Okay, well, I did
I've been, no. Yeah, I've been down for Daddy a while.
I'm not adjusted to that.
So no, I think I'm into it now. I'm ready.
Right, I'm not.
Girls, Georgie, we are girls.
Oh, I know what they could say to me.
What?
Would you like a glass of champagne?
Oh, yeah, I would, actually. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Cheers. Triggers. Make eye contact. Peter likes eye contact when you ching him.
Fuck him.
It's fine. It's dry. It's nice.
It just smells weird.
It's got a strong smell.
Yeah.
This is a Piper Heidsieck. It was in the fridge. Drunk out of these gorgeous Veuve Clicquot champagne glasses that were a gift from our lovely friend of the pod, Tim. Is Tim Beaumont actually his real name? Because I feel like he changed it on Facebook so many years ago. I now think it's his real name, but it wasn't his real name.
Edith.
Fuck's Edith.
Edith Bowman.
Festuca Glauca.
Huge.
You've got really lovely eyes.
So as Eddie and Jago are having they're successfully like flirting with
they
each
really
other.
They really
are
successfully.
Are you a good flirter?
I mean, I got with Leon, so maybe.
I wouldn't say you were a good flirter. Like you're funny. You made me laugh. You always make me, even like now, I've known you for so many years, you just make me laugh every day. So that's good.
I think guys like someone who can make them laugh, so maybe.
But you weren't really flirty.
No. I can imagine I probably wasn't.
No.
No.
I don't think I'm very good at it. I don't think I can tell when someone's flirting with me.
I think I'm a good flirt, actually. Yeah, I think sometimes, actually, being a good flirt has got me into some sticky situations. Because...
So what situation? Sticky situation?
Sticky. Because I'll find myself flirting with someone because I like the activity, the action of flirting. So I'll...
Oh, but you don't want to seal any deals.
No, like I'm not interested, but
it's
I find...
You're quite friendly, aren't
I find
you?
Myself
friendly
drawn
girl.
Into the flirt because also I quite... Maybe not so much now, but definitely in my past, I like people to...
Winning.
No, I like people, to like me. Me. Yeah, I quite like people to want me.
But you don't want to do anything with
no.
them, so you're fucking people up.
And then I'll be withholding.
That's why they hate you.
So I'll flirt with people, and I've definitely done it in the past. I've done it with girls and women, like flirted with them to the point that then they really go to move, and I'm like, that's like, this isn't going to... And then I freak out, and I'm like, no, don't want to do this. I've definitely done that.
Oh, interesting. See, I'm better with a clear signal. I don't like when it's flirting, it is a bit like unknown. You don't know whether it's going to go. I feel like I'm not good with the rejection, so yeah. I don't like the unknown. I like a clear signal.
I don't think I go out with the intention of, like, I'm going to flirt with people that I'm not interested in. No. But, like, if I'm in a social situation, say we're at a party, and you know, there are people that you've not met before, so you sort of chatting, and then they're chatting to you, and they're a bit flirty towards you, then I'll give back the energy they're giving to me because I'm, you know, I'm a social person, good communicator. So I'm like, I'm not just going to shut them down, but like, I'll give them back the energy they give me. So if they're giving a bit of flirt, I'll give them a little flirt back. And then before I know it, I'm like, oh, we're full on flirting now. And I didn't really mean to do this.
I would probably miss the cues. I
would see the cues. I would recognize them. I would panic because I would be not sure. I'm pretty sure that's a cue, but it might not be. Therefore, I'm not going to make a move. And then I think I've probably missed out on a lot of chances because I've just not made the move.
Missed the cues.
Yeah.
I think actually I probably flirt more with someone when I'm not interested than if it is someone I'm interested
low
in.
Low stakes, you've got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And whereas if there is someone I do like, I'll just, you know, go over to the other side of the room, not talk to them, eyes at them. Yeah.
Oh, yes. 100%.
And they'll just think I'm a miserable bitch.
Yeah, miserable bitch.
Yeah.
You should go low. You were always lower.
No, my range has never changed, dear.
So Gran and Dolly have come down the stairs being extra annoying. I'm so over them. I hate them. But Eddie says, get rid of them before I deadhead them. Is that a gardening term?
Yeah, like you deadhead the flowers.
The flowers, the heads are dead. Oh yeah, because she looks over at Diego like, gardening term.
Gardening term. Yeah. He loved it. He was licking it up.
Let's get those tits up, darling. Tits up. No, not with the straps, darling. I've got a little inflatable thing here. It's a little blow-up bra.
So Eddie's front room. We now see this front room that's been redecorated. And she says like, oh, you hate the country. It's quite funny because I was thinking the front room, it reminds me a little bit of like round our place. There are certain things
tiger.
In there.
Lamps.
She's got that big cat statue on the side, like we've got in the bedroom. She's got these head things like Buddha heads. I know like there's nothing more Caucasian than having a Buddha head. That's what Elvis told us.
Yeah. What?
Elvis told us like there's nothing more white people than having a Buddha in your house.
Yeah. True story. Yeah.
Her cabinet in the back looks a bit like our TV unit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after Peter read the look and said it's all re-pedestrian earlier on, I was in Eddie's house.
No, I didn't see the living room. It wasn't the living room, it said it was the bedroom.
All right, okay.
Hi, you look lovely.
I had to borrow some clothes off a friend. I had nothing in town.
Ooh. Eddie's got ready for the day. He comes in. It reminds me a little bit of the sex episode, like when they bring in the gigolos.
The gigolo.
Idris. And Eddie and Patsy are over the other side of the room, and Patsy sort of pushes Eddie towards him, like, you know, throw your flesh against that man. It's a bit like that. And so then Eddie goes out for a date, leaving Patsy and Saf sat on the sofa.
Awkwardly.
Pats can have a dig about these plays that Saf's writing.
I've got one of those little plays to write that nobody ever goes to see.
People do go and see them.
So Saf's obviously got these plays coming out and people are going to see them.
The way Eddie walks out is where I love it. She's just like the wiggle she does.
She's feeling it.
Tonight you're going to go out there and you're just going to knock him dead.
Knock him dead.
And now, so they've returned. The date seems to have gone well.
He's back.
He's flirting. He's up the flirting to sexual innuendo. Yeah. He likes to nibble an ear or two.
It would have been nice to see the date, just to see how a bit kooky it got. Or did Eddie do all the talking? Or did he talk more Latin?
Well, when they're down here, and then he decides to take it upstairs, he says, I'll roll another joint. So they've clearly been on the weed already.
A little bit of smoke.
So they've just been having a great time.
What a lovely thing to meet someone that you click with.
Have you had a good date? When was your last good date? Well, you just have dates.
We always have good dates.
We do have good dates, don't we? Yeah.
We haven't had a date for a little while.
Recently, when we went for a drink, and then it was in a pub, and it was just it was just like the usual, like having a drink on a Sunday afternoon that turned into a Sunday evening, and it was like we were chatting, it was all very lovely, like learning things about each other, but you know what, can be a little bit awkward, and it's a little bit like, so what do you do? What do you like to do? But then somebody, a guy came on the PA at the pub and we just like, so it's Sunday night, so you know what that means, quiz night.
Yes.
And quiz?
Quiz, yeah.
Quite like that. What else?
There was a pub quiz. So we looked at each other and we were like, oh, fuck, what are we going to do? And we were like, are we going to stay? Are we going to do this? And then we just were like, fuck it, we're going to do it. It was actually a much better way to like get to know each other because you're spending time with each other on a shared task rather than just back and forth trying to get information from each other. I would recommend a pub quiz as a team of two for anyone for a first date.
I think that's a brilliant first date.
You don't want a team of three.
No.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Yeah. I think that's a first date.
Hope we're not. Is this a date?
I mean.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guys.
We saw you across the recording table. We really like your vibe.
Wait.
What's the matter?
It's just... I am quite big with my clothes off.
Poor Eddie.
Hashtag Eddie is us.
Yeah, and I feel more me and you. Not Leon.
Leon's pouring the champagne.
I remember back in my non-confident days. I'm very confident now. I'm very body positive-ish. But back in the day where people, hot guys, would message me and I'd be like, I'm actually a bit of a rugby build, fat. Just to let you know, with my top off. I feel like you can say
you're a rugby build, but I feel like you present it as in a way that's a negative. Eddie, I just feel like he's into you.
Yeah.
Assume that he's into you unless he gives you reason to think otherwise. Yeah. Don't give the excuses. And I'm definitely guilty of it, but just like he wouldn't do it if you're not forcing him to do anything.
Yeah.
Just go with it.
I think that comes with age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's not young.
She's exactly.
No, but I'm saying for ourselves, the world you've not lived
Sorry,
in.
Sorry, some of us have insecurities about our body. I know, that's why you've been very quiet. Leon's like, although you're not a take your top off person in the club.
No. But not because I'm not confident in my body.
Did you DILF?
I did, but then...
But he wished now... I think he had the shorts and that.
I feel like I'd rather stand out by having a top on. And to me, the guys I like are the ones who haven't got their top off. When Patsy's under the sofa.
It's like fucking it.
Creeper.
Hey, Georgie.
Yeah. Right down that balloon. She's so creepy. With that fucking cigarette with the ash that's hanging on for dear life.
Her hair all buffed up. Yeah. Eddie's like, what are you under there for?
Ricky grin. I said I didn't want anyone in here and you fell asleep on the sofa.
Poor Eddie, she doesn't get a break. You know, her mother used to watch her having sex and now freaking Patsy's there.
Just don't watch me.
This is actually a funny skit.
This is good ABBA. This could be seasons 1 to 3.
So before Eddie went out, Patsy blew into a little tube to inflate the bra. Oh, don't make these anymore.
Don't pull the strap.
No, not with the straps, darling. I've got a little inflatable thing here. It's a little blow-up bra. A new blow-up bra. There you are.
Oh! And the sound of it deflating as Jago.
I feel like a bra with a little inflatable thing would be something you'd buy off Instagram.
Yeah. But it is quite a comedy moment as it comes out.
It's well done.
But he still likes it. He's still
on board. Because he's there for the money.
So whatever happens.
Oh, no, I don't like that theory.
It's dark,
you've really
isn't it?
Just because I want him to be into
it's
her.
It's real life. They're only using Jago.
She doesn't really fancy him. No, this is a Life of Pi moment for me.
Okay.
Do you know Life of Pi? Have you read the book or seen the movie?
The one with the tiger on the boat.
So it's like you have to choose how you look at life.
Yeah. Right?
We have no evidence to say whether he is just into her for the money.
Right.
That could be the case. It could not be the case. But what world do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a world where he's just after her for the money?
Oh, the real world, Peter. Wise up.
No, but you don't know. You don't know. You have to make a decision. Whether you want to be in the cynical world or whether you want to be in the world where things are a bit better.
I think I've already chosen.
Oh, Leon, yeah,
you have. I chose that years
ago. You have. I know you have. And I'm not.
It rubs off on me a little bit sometimes.
My cynicism rubs off on you, Mr. Miserable.
How dare you?
Absolutely as bad as each other.
We're like the two Muppets at the freaking top of that theatre.
Yeah. Yeah.
The two old rancid queens.
Yeah.
Flaming aunties.
I want to think that he's into her.
Okay.
Because
let's think.
And
that.
I think that's because I'm single and I'm like, I need to think that people will still be into me. Well, they're definitely not gonna be into me for my money, so that's fine.
Why don't you go with Charlie?
Hey, let me undress you.
No, it's alright, believe me, there is a skill.
When Eddie first walks into the bathroom and Patsy is sat on the loo like that, look at it.
Patsy's so shocked. She's like, what the fuck? I left you alone downstairs to come up here for a piss and now you're up here. I mean, it is her own fault for going to the bedroom.
I mean, is Patsy having a poo or a number one?
Well, she hasn't. She hasn't finished. Whatever it was, she finished it in the bath.
She's going to finish the shit in the toilet.
She'll have
a bit of waffle stomp.
Oh, she's going to have to thump.
What waffle stomping?
Oh,
chopped it off or she stopped the stream. One or the other.
The toilet paper.
So Eddie's undressed. She's shuffled Patsy into the shower. She's got dealt with that situation. Patsy's having a shit in the shower and now she's getting into bed. And I just keep waiting. When I was watching this, I just kept waiting for something to go wrong for her not to get her end away. And it doesn't happen. She gets her end away.
No, it's all going right.
Yeah. We don't know if she does. There's like some
they allude to he's on top of her. She has her dream sequence moment and then she wakes up with her shoes in her hand.
I don't know if it's a dream sequence. It's more like freaking...
Well, I love you the way I love trees.
Why does he say, yeah. I love you?
Stop. Hold yeah, the
yeah,
press.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hold
I have that noted. I have that noted. Stop
hold
everything.
Up.
He has met her one day.
Yeah.
They went on one date. He's finally smoked a bit of weed. So maybe he's like a little bit away with the fairies.
He loves
but he
her.
Says, I love you the way that... And it's like, no,
don't say I love you anything.
No, that's no, no, very no, no, gay no. guy vibes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This would put me right off. If someone said, I love you like something and I just met her, this
that's
would put
alarm
me off.
Bells.
What if they say, I love the way you...
No, even no, then, you love. Don't know me. You don't it's love anything. Weird. You've seen me do it once.
See me done.
I love the way you. Well, it's not how I always do it. I just happened to do it that one time. Like, don't get carried away.
I love the way you push your rosebud out.
Yeah, you did that. Oh, I love the way you did that.
You're my high priestess, and I'm your high priest. I like to slip into the forest and gather a pile of shepherd's purse.
What the fuck's a shepherd's purse?
Jago. Jago's bedroom
I think we're about
talk.
To find out.
Jago's bedroom talk is not the one.
No.
I feel like I'd be in bed going, oh, this was a mistake.
Jago should have stuck to the Latin. Yeah.
Stick to the Latin and stick it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a bit cringe when someone's like quite vocal saying the wrong thing in bed.
Just, and I'm just like, I'm not sure you know where, that I'm going to meet you on this vibe and you've just
you
fully
my,
went head.
If someone said to you, you're
and,
my high priestess and I'm your priest, you'd be like if you,
if well, you, as a Protestant from Northern Ireland, if someone mentions a priest in bed to me, I will run for the hills.
Run.
Wrapped her, wrapped her, wrapped her. Salt, moat, it's bee!
So then we get treated to this very Dan Brown scene.
Dan Brown?
Yeah.
Dan Brown! No, you guys won't really because you didn't watch it, but on the BBC, they were ahead of their time by a good 20 years. This is traitors vibes.
Traitors.
This is very traitors.
Traitors.
The traitors, they go into their tower of an evening with their hoods up. There's three of them and they go and they have to either murder the people.
You know what this scene actually calls back to a little bit when Patsy says about Eddie, I think it's in the sex episode, and she says, you know, in their eyes, you're already flat on your back, staked out. Look, she's flat on her back, staked out. This is, and the bloke's on top of her in his ritual robes and leaves. Mm. Weirdo. Pagan weirdo.
Sexy.
And then he fucks her.
I live in the gatehouse.
With all that money?
No, there is no money. Doggy put it all up his nose or in a vein. I had to sell the estate.
So then we have the big finale reveal that there is no money. Jago's got no money. Mm-hmm. It was all piffled away.
Blown up. Yeah,
doggy,
nose
doggy,
are in
bum
a
blower Balfour. Yeah. Spunked all the money. Spunked all the money on drugs, fast cars, fast women.
Yeah, and so they had to sell the estate.
Sell it to Roger Daltrey.
And it's now
it's a fish farm.
Fish farm. Oh, no.
I feel like that's quite a fun. I feel like that's quite a fun arc for the episode.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting Roger Daltrey's fish farm.
Sure, I didn't watch it and think, why is this called fish farm?
Yeah, and it's,
where are the fish?
I think that's funny.
Yeah,
I think that's funny.
Oh, I like that. I like when in an episode a seed is planted at the beginning that comes to fruition at the end.
It's
I
just like
that.
A shepherd's purse.
Very very horticultural.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I like that we have Eddie and Patsy finding it out at the same time because Patsy slept in the bath.
Yeah. I love that shot. Where it zooms into Patsy. She's like, no! And she gets up. I do like that.
And we have our post-credits in which tables have turned. Call back to your previous episode. Eddie, this time, is the one dressed as Jojo Siwa.
Oh, yeah.
There's that outfit. Mm-hmm. And you know, she gives that outfit to Safi in the Paris.
Yeah, totally.
I did notice that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, oh, bit of recycling going on.
Yeah.
Cycle of abuse.
And obviously Patsy witnessed the whole sex act.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
She's saying it's a bit
shit. Like, no, you're not. She's not like, at least I had some good sex.
So they just say I was, you know, wonderful. No, darling, believe me, I was there.
Patsy's a bit of a cunt there.
Oh, no, just let her enjoy it. Yeah. She had a good time.
Where are you going?
New York.
I didn't think they let people with drug convictions in.
Darling, it's not a conviction, just a firm belief.
Yes.
Brilliant line.
That is a genius line. Overall, so it's not the strongest of episodes that we've ever had, but I feel like it does have some good points.
Let me tell you, if I go back to my box set of AbFab episodes, this will be bottom of the list for rewatches. Yes. It just doesn't hit the spot for me.
There
are a few funny moments in it, but a lot of it I can do without.
They're like little self-contained pockets of goodness rather than genius.
Like a thingy's, what was it, a thingy's purse?
Like a shepherd's purse. There's a few little shepherd's purses of goodness.
Yeah. What would you take away from this episode?
I don't know if there's a message. I just feel like, enjoy flirting. I like that. There's nothing wrong with flirting. Don't listen to Saf. Eddie wanted to get her flirt on. Let her get her flirt on. Mm-hmm. Fine, it may have been for nefarious reasons. Yeah. She was trying to get the money. Yeah. But the flirting's still fun.
Eddie should have like enjoyed the sex for what it was rather than it being a means to an end. Like Safi says, you're always trying to get to the end result. And the end result for Eddie was to get her hands on the cash that Jago's got. She's like, you know, the life's in the details. The details were the flirting, the going out. She had a fun dinner. They're smooching on the sofa. She had some good sex. She smokes a joint with him. She should have just enjoyed those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I
think
agree.
The same. I mean, Eddie's already got a fabulous life. What more do you want?
Well, on that note, am looking forward to getting back together for the next episode for Paris, which I feel like is a real high point of season four. You know, I always talk season four down a little bit.
This is a high point.
But Paris is a high point of AbFab, full stop.
I'll see you about six then.
Yeah, give you a call about nine. Let's go and get some lunch and then come back to these microphones.
Where are we going for lunch?
No, the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Cool. See you downstairs in five. Right.
As always, cheers, sweetie.
Thanks, darling.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Beget the son of hell.